for everyone to be an evangelist, how important it is for everyone to go out and seek the lost and to help lead them to Christ, to help them across the threshold of salvation, okay? And our statistics on this, as we understand them for church folk, that's us, right? We're church folk, is that a lot of people go through their whole lives and this is the count of how many people they lead to Christ. You know, it's a big goose egg. It's a zero. You know, and that shouldn't be the case. Instead, we should be active. We should be looking for those opportunities, and we should be partaking of them. How many of you recognize the concept that if somebody came directly to you and they said, hey, could you help me? I'm learning a little bit about this Jesus stuff, and I really think I need to be saved, and can you help me with that? And the first thing they would do is, yeah, let me find you a pastor here somewhere. That's God calling you to do something at that point in time. Now, that's not to say you wouldn't go and get help or you know, you lead someone to Christ and now you need them to be plugged into a church or some resource material or OSL or anything else. And that's great, and we want to do that. But we don't want to bail on one of the most important callings each and every one of us have. Okay? So that's kind of what I'm going to try to focus on this morning. Good? Okay. You can talk here. It's all right. We'll let you do it. Good?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Good. Okay. I thought Steve had warmed you up. You know, I don't know. We'll see what happens. So I was thinking back to what I have that helps me in my success in other pursuits. And I started thinking about some of the other things that I do. I would call them disciplines, the other things I do. But my lovely bride, Kathleen, she would call them hobbies. You know, they're nothing so noble and wonderful as a discipline. They're simply hobbies. And in the past, I've done things like piloting, and I've been involved with ham radio and stuff like that. And all those different disciplines have one thing in common. They have some sort of a collection of stuff that you get together to help you in that pursuit. And because, you know, I'm an American male, it's usually an expensive collection of stuff, right? We all understand that. And very often it's collected in some kind of a bag or a container or something, and we call that the kit or the go bag or the grab and go bag. So whether it's first aid or wilderness survival or all your piloting supplies and charts and radios and navigation aids or your emergency ham radio gear so you can go to some forlorn mountaintop somewhere and throw an antenna over the top of a tall tree and start communicating thousands of miles away, they all have this kit that you get to assemble and have. And again, as me, it's kind of like, oh, goody, I get to get stuff. You know, and I like that. Well, we're going to try and talk about this morning about the kit we all need to have. Okay? That background of resources. And it's not going to be a physical kit, guys. If you really want to go out and buy an expensive leather bag, you can do it. Okay? But it's going to be more the collection of resources and ideas and concepts that we need to have to be more effective in this call we have on each of our lives. Make sense? All right. So let's start off. I've got five different parts here, A through E, I want to talk to you about, and in our salvation kits that we want to have. And the first part is going to be a number of verses that I think we should readily have at our disposal to be able to go and bring other people to salvation, okay? And I would suggest we take these verses and we commit them to ourselves. So whether you have them written down on a card or whether you have them committed to memory and you can just recall them and pull them up. I was talking last night about the ministry teams here at church, and they do a wonderful job memorizing scripture. Scripture specifically that they use while ministering to people, while praying for people, whether it's scripture about healing or scripture about God moving in a miraculous situation or meeting a need and how he wants to meet our needs and take care of us. They have these scriptures memorized. Why do they do that? Well, because we can tell someone, hey, you know, God's really good and he loves you. But how much more effective is it when we use the Bible verse, okay, the sword of the Spirit to communicate that stuff? There's power in the word. Amen? Okay, and that's what we want to have, and that's my recommendation here for us too. So we're going to look at a couple of different verses that I suggest as a start we all have in our kit that we can pull upon and speak to someone. Now, these verses are not going to be earth-shattering. They're undoubtedly going to be verses that we all already know, okay? But maybe we're just not thinking about them sometimes, okay? Because we're nervous about finding a pastor to do this for us, okay? But I think we're all relying upon each and every one of us to be able to do this. Here's the first verse. You've probably never heard of this one before, right? Oh, what we're trying to do here, I should say, is also answer the questions who, what, when, where, and how. Okay? Now, when leading someone to salvation, the first two are very easy. That being when and where. When are we leading them? Yeah. And where are we leading them?
Here.
Wherever we are, right? So we've taken care of the first two questions. See how easy we make it? Wouldn't you like to take a test on this? It would be, you know, you get a certain percentage automatically. So the next question we want to deal with is what? What's going on here? Why is this happening? Why is this available to us? What's the reason for this? So, would you please open in your Bibles to John chapter 3 and verse 16. John 3:16. How many of you have heard of that one before? Okay. How many of you have that one memorized already? Okay, so we're going to look at John 3, 16 and 17 there. These are great verses to have in your kit. And they say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Good scripture? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Should we have this in our kit? Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of this, "For God so loved the world," this is OSL 1. This is OSL 1. We talk all about how much God loves us and loves the world and what he's provided for us and what he's willing to do for us because of that love. God doesn't have a passing fondness for us. You understand what I'm saying? It is a deep, undying love. And the world tends to wash that out, and a lot of people tend to forget that. And the enemy loves to steal that. How could God possibly love you? You know? But those are lies. Those are lies, like everything the world says. So that's the first part of the kit. The second question we want to answer is who? And this is a very direct, very important question. Who can save me? Who can save me? So let's go a little further in John to the 14th chapter. And this is in the upper room, the Last Supper time frame. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. And it simply states, this is Jesus talking to his disciples in the upper room, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me." And, don't you love it when God adds an "and" to stuff? It's always good. "And there are many mansions in my Father's house. If not, I would have told you so. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will call you unto myself from there. For where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you go." Now, the disciples were kind of confused by this. And I just thank God for Thomas, you know. I mean, usually it's Peter that blurts out the question, you know, or the situation or whatever. But in two pivotal cases, it's Thomas that is there and is saying something. And this is just a wonderful one to him. He says, "Lord, we don't know what you're talking about. How can we know the way? What is the way?" Wow. You know, he should have given him a buck because, see, that was a great setup. Right. You know, it was a great setup. And Jesus answers, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Okay? I heard quite a few weeks ago a mega church pastor, he's on the air all the time, And he expressed openly in an interview that, you know, there are many ways to get to heaven. There are many different paths that you can follow. Doesn't just have to be the one that we talk about or this or that. I'm sorry, that was incredibly wrong. There is one way, okay? Jesus says it right here, okay? I am the way, singular, only one. No man comes to the Father but by me. This is the truth. This is what we want to teach people. Why? Because it is true. Because it is the only way. Oh, it might hurt their feelings. We can soften it if we say other things. Good! We hurt their feelings and we save them. That's a win. That's a win. That's what we want to do. That's what we want to be about. I also find it just amazing that this powerful verse, I am the way, it starts with I am. What's that? That's the name of God, Yahweh, what gets translated Jehovah by many of us in this age, in this time. I am is the name of God, and he says, I am the way. Okay? It's not a coincidence. There's one other time when Jesus says, I am, and it has powerful results. It's in the Garden of Gethsemane, later the same night. You know? And the soldiers come in together with the officials from the church and all that, and, you know, they're asking, where, you know, are you Jesus of Nazareth? You know, who's Jesus of Nazareth? And he turns and he says, I am. And what happens? They all fall down. They all fall down. Okay? There's power in the name of God. There's power in the blood. Thank goodness. All right, so we've answered all the questions save how? How can this happen? How can I be saved? What do I need to do? Here again, we go to a verse that I think you'll be familiar with. It's in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Romans 10, 9, 10. It's kind of easy to memorize, kind of rolls off your tongue there. We want this in our kit. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Cool? You bet. I mean, what a deal. You mean all I have to do is confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, and that's it? Isn't there a certain amount of tithe or offering I need to go or you know, contribute to an orphanage or whatever it is? No, that'd be great stuff to do. These are the things. The next verse, verse 10, goes on, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay? Sometimes I think I talk way too much, but then I realize that with the mouth, you know, confession is made into salvation, and talking doesn't seem like such a bad thing at that point. All right. So that's A, the first part of the five parts of what we need in our kit. Now, there are many other great verses to be included that you may well want to put in your kit, because your kit is not going to look like my kit. Just like your pilot bag wouldn't necessarily look like my pilot bag, or your emergency radio equipment, or your first aid kit won't necessarily look like my first aid kit, okay? And that's great. You want to make it your own. You want to have something that's powerful, and God will use that in you to satisfy certain situations, certain needs for certain people, okay? Diversity is a great thing. Okay, we don't want to come out here and stamp everyone out the same way. Good? All right. B. We kind of, to be able to lead someone to Jesus, we kind of have to know how to pray. That's kind of a requirement too. So, first one was scripture. Second one, we have to know how to pray. Now, it's funny sometimes because I get the idea sometimes that Christians are afraid to pray in a public setting. I don't want to do that, you know, or even just praying for someone and helping lead them to God, or any situation, praying for a miracle, praying for a healing, praying for something that's broken, praying for someone that's looking for a job, whatever it happens to be. And sometimes I get the definite impression, how many of you have noticed that sometimes amongst Christians? Yeah, that there's a hesitancy to do that. And I think that's particularly ironic when I consider that heathens, people without God, when they get into a dire situation in their life, I mean, we may be talking life and death, we may be talking whatever, and you know what? They are not hesitant to pray whatsoever. They have no idea who they're praying to. They don't know the rules. They don't know the situations. But, oh my goodness, they're ready to pray. How much more so should we be ready to pray in any situation, in season and out of season, for us? We need to do. I'm reminded of a story that goes way back in history, all the way to the time of the Scottish Reformation in the 1300s. You all remember that. It was in the papers, okay? And there was this individual who's called Robert the Bruce. Robert the Bruce. Okay, kind of a famous guy in Scottish history. I always thought it was funny. He has the same middle name as Smokey the Bear. I don't know how that happened, but anyway, Robert the Bruce. And he was in a battle with the enemy forces, and they were losing. They were doing poorly. So they were running away, and the enemy was continually pursuing them, and they were, you know, dropping their weapons, just trying to get away, because it was a very bad situation for them. And unfortunately, Robert, he got separated from the rest of his soldiers, and he found himself alone, and he's still running away. He knows the enemy's coming, and it's a very hilly area, so he can kind of get away where they can't see him and change direction. But as they come over the next hill, they find where he is, and they start heading over towards him. Well, he comes over into this one small valley, and he realizes this valley is filled with all these little caves. Now, I call them caves. If you watch television back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, caves are these huge rooms that you can fit four or five Winnebagos inside of, okay? This was not like that. This was a glorified gopher hole, right? Just barely big enough for him to crawl into and get out of the light of day and be back in there, but he couldn't go very far in. It wasn't like there was an escape, you know, that went through to the center of the earth or something there. You know, he was right there. And he quickly realized, as the enemy forces came over the crest of the hill, that, oh no, I'm stuck. And as he's watching them, because he can see out to the light, he notices they are finding all these little caves, and they're searching each and every one to make sure no one gets away from them. Well, it's a small opening, so he's down on his knees already. Guess what Robert starts doing? Yeah. Oh, God, my God, dear Lord, deliver me from this situation. You know, help me to overcome this pursuit that I have, Lord God. Spare my life. And he's just praying and praying. And while he's praying, this little spider comes down over the opening of the cave and starts spinning a web and joining it together. And he loses it. He gets angry at God. God, I'm calling for you to help save me. And here's this spider building a web. That's not going to keep anyone out. That's not strong enough. They're going to be able to look through and see me. This is it, God. And he's kind of frustrated. He's kind of angry. We can give him some grace. He's in a bad place. Okay? And as he's watching, and he's kind of angry at God, and he's voicing these things, finally one of the soldiers gets up to his cave. And he walks up to it, and all he can see is a spider web because the sun is shining on it. And he can't see into the cave at all. And he realizes that there's a spider web here, so he calls over to his comrades and, guys, we don't have to search this one. There's a spider web over the opening. If he went in, it would have been broken. And they move on. God, forgive me. What a fool I am. With you, a spider web can be as strong as a stone wall. It can be as impenetrable as blocks. It can be undefeatable by the enemy. And that's the realization we need to have. We need to not be hesitant to pray in all situations. Now, prayer is complicated because it is all the following things. One, talking to God. Oh, that's it. Okay. Doesn't seem too complicated. Now, there are two parts to talking to God. And a lot of people only get one part right. And indeed, sometimes they only get one part of that one part right. Okay? So the first part of talking to God is often that we lift things up to Him. We speak what's on our mind, what's concerning us, what's going on. For a lot of us, you can recognize this prayer time because of the use of a unique English word called gimme. Oh, excuse me, gimme. That's it, gimme. Lord God, gimme this, gimme this, gimme this, gimme this. I need five of those. I want, you know, and that's it. It's filled with the gimmies, you know? And that's fine. That is a part of prayer. And we don't want to totally disrespect that. But if that's your entire prayer language, that's a little disappointing. Bring up the things of concern, tell them what's on your heart and all that. And then the second part of prayer, which is, to put it very, very reverently, shut up and listen. Right? We're talking about talking with God. When I talk with most people, it's a two-way street. Okay? And part of that is we need to listen. We need to perceive what God has. Not very often, we might not receive something at that point in time. It may come later. Okay? Obviously, Robert didn't receive the answer to his prayer immediately upon uttering it. And it wasn't until later that he realized that God was responding to him at that point in time. Okay? So do not be afraid to pray. Do not worry about it. You know, you are being an example of faith. You're being a practice of what this new potential convert needs to see and be able to do. We need to exhibit that strongly and well. Does that make sense? Is that good? You're allowed to talk again. Okay. You're allowed to say no, too. Ushers, you know, no, anyway. All right. So that was B. C, the third element here, I want to talk about. And it is to make sure that we involve the Holy Spirit in what we're doing, also known as the Helper. Now, let me digress here for a moment. How many of you are aware of, or yourself perhaps occasionally engage in, various kinds of video games or system games or online games or things of that sort? Okay, I see a few hands, and I see more than that of people that, well, gee, I'm not going to admit that in church. I don't necessarily want to talk about that, but yeah, and okay, that's fine. And within playing these different games, often first-person shooter type games or whatever, where you're the character in the thing and you're trying to prevail against the enemy. Maybe you're Robert running away from enemy forces or something like that. You can occasionally get a little further ahead in the game, even if you're unexperienced, by invoking the use of cheat codes. Okay, how many of you know what I'm talking about there and cheat codes? So a cheat code is simply a command or a sequence of things that you can do, and all of a sudden it will give you powers and abilities that you haven't actually earned. It's a little extra code that the programmers put in there. They often put it in there because they don't want to have to fight everything that's going on. They want to be able to test part of the system so they actually enable their character to do more. And eventually these things get published and people put them on the web and other people can find about them. And I remember one game that I played, oh my goodness, this is like 30 years ago. They had one particular cheat code you could give, and I didn't like the name of it, but it was called the God Mode, you know? And it made you essentially, nothing could kill you, nothing could hurt you. You know, you could walk through fire, you could jump off of cliffs, you could do any wade in lava, no problem. You know, it was just you were invincible, and your weapons were all powerful. you know, and it was a cheat. You know, it was defeating part of the game, and you could go through and do things that you otherwise were not able to do because you hadn't actually accomplished what the game was asking you to accomplish to get up to that point. What does that have to do with what we're talking about today? The Holy Spirit, the Helper, cheat codes. You hear what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? And we would be silly. Yay, we would be foolish not to rely on these and not to call upon these. They are naturally made and presented and available to us because God loves us that much. So in that situation, while you're praying, you know, we're relying upon the Holy Spirit. And it can often be something silly. It could be something, you know, just like, oh, I don't think I heard from God, and we just move on. And don't fail to do that. I'm thinking in particular some of the messages that Mark Tubbs has given here, where, you know, he'll be given something like a number or a color or something that's just totally off the wall. You know, and you're praying for this person because they have something going on. You don't know what they have going on in their life yet. You know, you'd like to be able to offer them a prophetic word or something else from God. And all he gives you is the number 54. 54? Really, God? That's it? You know? Yeah. And you don't have anything else, and you just, okay, well, I'm praying for you. And I feel that, I sense that God is telling me something about the number 54. And the person breaks down and starts sobbing, and it's just, how did you know? And oh my goodness, you know? And they're able to open their mind, open their heart, and receive other things at that point in time just because this was somehow significant to them. And by the way, they'll tell you how it's significant at that point. It won't be a mystery anymore, even though God didn't tell you what it was. He just told you the key. He just told you that person's cheat code in that season at that time. Wow, that's way cool, huh? That's way cool. How many of you are into using Holy Spirit cheat codes, huh? Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. This is my quote. This didn't come from anywhere else. Please don't go start a new church over this. But here's the quote. There are no fair fights in God's kingdom. I'm okay with that. I'm good with that. Okay? There's no way in the world we can overcome certain things. And there's no way in the kingdom of God that we will lose in those same situations. And we need to realize that. We need to grasp that. We need to have faith in that. We need to rely upon that. You know, we're all familiar, I think, with the term judgment day, okay? Whereas the great calling is going on, and everyone will come forth and stand before the judgment seat. And the enemy is not going to be quiet at that point in time, are they? Hey, this is where this guy failed. Here's the mistakes he made. Here's the sins that he did. Here's the foolishness that went on during his life. And it's going to sound incredibly condemning. You know, and with eyes downcast, it's just like, how can we overcome this? And as you look up, you'll see the face of the judge. And it's Papa God. You understand what I'm saying? And it's kind of like, oh. He said, yeah, I find the defendant not guilty. Because he knows the price that was paid. He knows that how we accepted that price. And we took that onto ourselves. It's almost like wrestling or boxing or something there. And where there's one judge that at the end of it is going to say who won and who lost. And over here is going to be the enemy, and over here is going to be you. Okay? And God is going to come and walk up and goes, well, you know, I think I'm going to give it to my kid. Any good King's kids here? Amen. And that's why we want to be. Okay? It's just not a cool title. Okay? It's a great place to be. All right, so cheat codes, the Holy Spirit, the Helper. That was C. D, I alluded to earlier, and it's just an encouragement to make this kit your own. Not only with the Bible verses, but in your way to deliver it, your availability for it. We're all going to be as unique as we are all already unique. Okay? And Gary and I and Brandon, we're all going to deliver a different thing. And that's okay. That's actually good. You know? That's wonderful. This isn't a spelling bee where there's only one right answer. Okay? And indeed, I think God is going to rely on us for the unique angle and turn and method that we're going to use, and he's going to call us to particular situations that will be the answer for. We, in effect, will be part, if you will, of that cheat code where no one else could come forward and would be able to do anything. Within Scripture, there, if you want to search for salvation verses, it's an easy Google search or concordance search to do. There's well over 70 portions of the Bible that deal with salvation, Old Testament and New Testament. And you know, if you do or don't like these, you want to look for some others. There's some other great things out there. That's what I mean when I say make it your own. Find what speaks well for you, what's a part of what you want to be able to deliver to someone. Okay? And then just be ready. And guess what? He'll bring you folks. He'll bring a situation. He'll bring the fictional thing I said where someone's going to come right to you and just, you know what? I think I need Jesus in my life. Can you help me with that? Amen. You know? Or it may just be a situation where someone's in a bad state or they're befuddled, or maybe they're in a wonderful state or whatever, but you're just sensing a need in their life. And so you just open it up with just, oh, that's, yeah, I know what I do in my life when I have that kind of a situation. Okay? And you let it hang out there, and you let it be pending, and you know, you're the whole time inside, you're praying. You know, come on, Holy Spirit, give me a cheat code. You know, you're there, you're all ready to go, and that's perfect. That's where we want to be. And now, we want to talk about not the best possible thing that can happen, because I think we all realize what that is. I want to talk about the worst possible thing that can happen. And in general, the worst possible thing that can happen through all this is the person won't accept. They will reject what you've told them. You know, at the end of it, you'll pray for them, you lay hands on them, whatever your kit is that you do. And they'll say, you know, I kind of hear what you're saying, but I don't think it's right for me. I don't think that I'm in a place to accept that. I don't, whatever the negativity is. And they will turn and they will walk away. Is that a win or is that a loss? It is a definite win, because what you did is what we call planting seed. And that seed doesn't all of a sudden vanish in the presence of their rejection. It doesn't go away. It stays in there and produces static. It stays in there. It stays in there and is waiting. So maybe other seed joins it from other people. Maybe different situations come up. And eventually, that seed will bear fruit. In Jesus' name, we proclaim that. We proclaim that. There was a story that I heard many years ago. I'm old enough to go back many years, right? Okay, so anyway, many years ago. And there was this gentleman who worked on high-tension power lines. So often his work involved taking and repairing lines or insulators or those things, and very often he was, you know, 80 to 100 feet off the ground where the action was to do that work. And so he had some sort of a lift bucket that took him up to the tower, and he got out and he was working on something. And this fella was a great guy, but he surrounded by Christians and his family and his friends and everything else, and he had absolutely rejected the Lord every step of the way. I don't want to hear that God stuff. That's not for me. Hey, you take your Jesus stuff and go away. I don't want the Bible verses. I don't want anything. I'm doing just fine. Okay? And we've heard it. We've heard variations on that, and we can know and understand that. And that's where this fellow was. Well, unfortunately, the operator of the bucket thing went the wrong way and knocked the guy off his tower from 100 feet in the air. And he fell to the ground. And on that day, two miracles happened to the guy. The first miracle, I think, is the less remarkable of the two, so I'll share that one first. He survived. A lot of broken bones, terrible bruising, injury, all that, but he was able to come back most of the way to health. Okay, amazing. Amazing. Here's the really incredible miracle is what he shared about the experience, which was, you know, when that arm knocked me off of that tower, I knew I was going to die. And between being up there and being down here, I remembered every Bible verse that had ever been quoted to me. I remembered every promise of Scripture. I remembered everything my family and my friends would say. And before I hit the ground, I had accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. It is never too late for seed to do a good work. We don't want to forsake the planting of seed. So get your kits ready and be ready to step out and invite more people to the kingdom. We still have some extra chairs. We can handle some more here, and so can a lot of other places, and we want to do that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your message, and we just ask you to bless each of us in our hearts and our minds with its meaning. Amen.